Well, you know what? In the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis writes this book, and one of the characters finds a spell book within this book. And the spell book has this description: how to remember things forgotten and how to forget things that you've wanted to forget. You know what? That's an interesting idea. If you could choose to remember something you've forgotten, or if you could choose to forget something you've wanted to forget, what would you choose? Would you choose to remember memories, maybe? You know, memories maybe of a loved one who has passed? Or would you choose to remember where you put that important file for safekeeping that you can no longer find? Or would you maybe want to remember people's names better? Or would you maybe want to remember how bad you felt after eating so much last Thanksgiving so you wouldn't do it again? What would you want to remember? How about on the other side of that? If you could forget something, what would you choose there? Would you maybe choose it to be something that happened to you? Would you choose to forget maybe someone or something that hurt you? Like take an eraser to your mind and to your brain and just remove, make that painful memory disappear. Or maybe would it be something that you wish you had never seen? You saw it, but you wish you never had seen it. What would it be? Or would it be maybe when you hurt someone and you carry deep shame, you carry guilt for that because of it? And as we speak of memories and think about memories today, what makes some things so memorable? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, isn't it interesting how things in our lives become unforgettable in the best possible way, right? But also in the worst possible way. I mean, I remember where I was on 9/11 when planes crashed into the World Trade Center. But I also remember where I was when my wife agreed to be my wife. With that, we're in a series called Golden. And it's a series where we are looking at the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we've been looking at it and talking about it and how it brings quality to our way of living and how it can bring quality to our relationships. Well, a big part of our relationships are the memories. The memories that we make with one another. Those memories either bond us together, right, or they drive us and split us apart. Can't you agree with that? I mean, we talk about making memories, right? We talk about collecting memories. And a part, you got to know this, a part of living golden in our relationship is recognizing those memories and the quality of them. So today what we want to do is we want to declare, okay? We want to declare that there is an open door. There is an open door, a door waiting to be opened to reevaluate our memories and to reevaluate how our memories are affecting our relationships. And there is an open door before us to do something about that. And we're going to explore that today through a man in the Bible who is found in the book of Genesis. And this is a guy who is best known not for what he forgot, but for what he remembered. And in fact, the lengths to which he went to remember this memory. He savored this memory of a specific thing that happened in his life. This guy's name is Lamech, and we find his story in Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 19. It says this, let's read it. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play stringed instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. And here it is. I have killed a man for wounding me. Now, there are three things to notice about Lamech right off the bat before we even go deeper into the scripture. One is this. Lamech is a polygamist. In fact, Lamech is the first practicing polygamist that we see in the Bible. And as others have wisely said, the Bible does not prescribe everything that it describes. Polygamy had no warrant, you see. And Lamech's decision to take on two wives, well, that really speaks more to a greater problem that Lamech has, and that's a greater problem of his heart. Now, this is not a sermon about polygamy, but if it would, this would be the point. Okay, you ready for it? Don't do it. Don't do it. One interesting fact about polygamy is that when you look at like indexes that measure how stable various nations are in the world, 20 of the least stable nations in the world have one thing in common: widespread polygamy. Polygamy is bad for women. Polygamy is bad for children. And it is commonly accepted in unstable nations. I point this out again about Lamech because it is just an indication right off the bat. It's a clue that Lamech has a heart problem. He has a heart issue. What else about Lamech? Second, Lamech comes from a complicated family. You see, Lamech is a descendant of Cain. Cain, who killed his brother Abel out of jealousy. We'll talk more about Cain in a second, but just know right now that Lamech, he was the great-great-great-grandson of Cain. And being a descendant of Cain has connotations, and it has complications as well. In other words, Lamech is inheriting a legacy, which we all do. There are just things we inherit, right, from our families, some of which should be embraced, others of which should be resisted, which really leads us to the third preliminary thing that we see about Lamech. Lamech has been hurt. He's been hurt. Now, we don't know who it was that hurt Lamech. We don't know what the injury was. Was it a physical one? Was it an emotional one? But Lamech knew he had a wound, and Lamech savored it. In fact, some scholars believe, and I think we even see it in what we read, they believe that Lamech is not boasting of something he has done as much as he is proclaiming, this is something I was willing to do, I've done it before, and I would do it again. So just to quickly recap, before we go further, three preliminary findings about Lamech. One, Lamech is a polygamist. Two, he is a descendant of murderous Cain. And three, he's been hurt somehow. Now, when you or I see someone else reeling from a wound, it's easy for us to say, oh, come on, snap out of it, right? Get over it. But when it's you, that's a different story, isn't it? You know the pain. So with that, let's learn from Lamech. This is my encouragement for us. Let's internalize it. Let's not just beat this guy up. So with that, let's keep reading. As Lamech now evokes the memory of his great-great-great-grandfather Cain. Verse 24. If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. So Cain, okay? Cain was the son of Adam and Eve. And Cain, again, he killed his brother Abel. And as a result, okay, as a consequence, the Lord drove Cain out to be a restless wanderer. And God said, anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance 7 times over. And then the Lord, he put a mark on Cain so that though Cain had killed his brother, no one who found him would kill him. So you see, God protects even while punishing Cain. Well, Lamech here, in what we just read, he seems to embrace this troubled legacy. He seems to embrace it as we see him announce to his wives, I've killed a man. But he's not saying it with regret. He's not saying it with shock. He's not saying it as if he were stunned. He's bragging. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. You see, Lamech, what he does is he nurses the grudge. He nurses the grudge. He's escalating the consequences of wrongs that were done against him. I mean, the standard rule had been an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? But in the case of Cain, God said, if anyone kills him, I will avenge Cain sevenfold. And Lamech here, again, on his own, the great, great, great grandson of Cain, Lamech, in his pride, escalates this even further. I, he says, will be avenged 77 times. And this number 77, it is symbolic. It's symbolic as much as anything else. It's symbolic saying to the utmost extreme. And you know what? It reminds me of one of the retellings of J.M. Barrie's classic story, Peter Pan. Now, this may seem weird and quirky, but track with me for a second, okay? It may seem silly. Smee, okay, he recognizes in Peter Pan that Captain Hook has an unhealthy obsession with getting revenge against Peter Pan, right? We know that story. So in this particular retelling of the story, Smee says to Captain Hook, with grave concern, by the way, Smee says, your hatred is so relentless. It's so vindictive. It's so malignant. To which Hook laughs. And he says, well, thank you. Yes, it is, isn't it? Taking it as a compliment. And Smee continues to say, there's something about Peter Pan that goads you into an absolute frenzy, Captain Hook. To which Hook laughs again. And he said, yes, yes, it's true, it's true. I'm in an absolute fizzing frenzy right at this very moment. And it's not just that Hook holds a grudge. It's not just that he holds a grudge against Pan. He nurses the grudge. He nurses it against Pan. In other words, he takes out the hurt and he holds it. He holds it. He relishes the hurt. He pulls it out and he replays it over and over. And so with Lamech here, a real person in the Bible, he knows he was hurt, he knows his wound, and he has an obsession with it, which is where memory really comes in. Again, memory is a funny thing, isn't it? And they found that our most intense memories lead to the long, or our most intense emotions, excuse me, lead to the most long-lasting memories. Our most intense emotions lead to our most long-lasting memories. Thus why you and I, if you're old enough to remember, remember exactly where we were on that fateful Tuesday morning, right, of 9/11. And thus why we have our most vivid memories. It's the emotion of them, which are called flashbulb memories. Whenever you and I have a strong emotion, it like carves a deep groove into our memory. I mean, we don't have strong memories of afternoons when we were sitting at home as kids bored out of our minds, right? We instead have strong emotions of getting puppies and memories of that kind of stuff. We have strong memories of maybe losing loved ones, the mountaintops and the valleys. And when someone wrongs you or I, it hurts deeply. And we likely have either a big flashbulb moment or a little flashbulb moment, but it's there. That moment is there, a moment that your mind records, and it seems like it's in permanent ink, making it hard to forget. With that said, some of you have been hurt deeply. Confidences have been violated. And deep emotion leaves a scar, and it exists. And without even trying, you find yourself, don't you? You find yourself driving, maybe, and you just start replaying the event over and over in your mind, and you find yourself rehearsing it, and it impacts your relationships, even other relationships that aren't related to the one where the hurt originated. And when someone hurts us deeply, we often say, I can forgive, but I can't forget, right? And we mean it. We mean it when we say that, because often the stuff that really needs to be forgiven is the stuff that also is the hardest to forget. Isn't that true? The stuff, the hurt, the wrongdoing, the scandal, whatever it is, that really needs to be forgiven is the hardest to forget. Which means, you know what that all means? It means that we can understand someone like Lamech. It means that we can understand people who become like Lamech. It happens when hurt is just such a powerful memory that it's easy to fixate upon. And for some of us, it may be a minor irritation. It may be a minor irritation that this memory just keeps bringing back, that for the most part, we can like keep at bay. While for others of us, it may require the faithful and the patient help of a counselor to sort through emotions. But for some of us, okay, some of us don't pursue either of those. Some of us haven't pursued either of those yet. Just working to keep that thing at bay, or maybe working with a counselor with our flashbulb events. Some of us haven't done anything about it. We're here today to do something about it. We instead, you know what we do? We take the path of Lamech. We take the path of Captain Hook. We indulge the grievance. We feed it until it defines who we are. And again, it rears its head in other relationships, which is what makes church forgiveness, forgiveness. This all is what makes forgiveness so necessary. This all is what makes forgiveness so amazing. Not because it's easy. Forgiveness is not easy, but it is so necessary, and it is just so powerful. Because you know what? It is the overcoming of one's natural instinct. That's what it is. You see how it works is you take this thing, okay? You take this thing in the power of the Lord. You take this thing, this hurt, this betrayal. You take this thing in the power of the Lord that is scarred and seared into your memory, and you say, you decide, I will act. Can you say, I will act? I will act as if this never happened. Which means, church, forgiveness is an act of the will. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And forgiveness, I got to tell you, it is one of the greatest miracles you will ever experience. Now, flash forward with me. A couple thousand years, okay? From Lamech's time. Let's flash forward to Jesus' time. Jesus' time walking upon the earth. Now, Jesus, he never mentioned Lamech by name. But one time, he seemed to be referring to him. He seemed to be doing this when he was talking with his disciples. Look at Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, Peter, follower of mine, JP, Sherry, Laura, Keith, follower of mine. I tell you, says Jesus, not seven times, but 77 times. Huh. Church, you know what? It's as if Jesus says, okay, in the same way that Lamech was obsessed with getting revenge, you, as a follower of mine, should be obsessed with giving out forgiveness. And then, you know what? This is where it gets really good. Jesus went on from this declaration to tell them and to tell us a story, a parable. The parable of the unforgiving or the unmerciful servant. It's found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 to 35. Go read it later. For time's sake, I'm just going to kind of recap it. But Jesus, he tells the story of a servant incapable of settling accounts with his king. So this servant begs. He begs the king for patience. He begs the king for some time to repay the debt. Well, the king, you know what? He does one better. And he cancels. He cancels the debt. He cancels the debt and he lets the servant go. You are forgiven of the debt. I cancel it. But upon going, this servant, you know what happens? He runs into someone that owes him money. And he grabs him and he starts to choke him and he starts to demand his repayment. And this person, this someone, begs for patience. He begs for time, but the forgiven servant by the king has the man thrown into prison. Well, you know what? In the story that Jesus told, the king gets word of this, and he calls the forgiven servant back in, and he reverses his original order. He reverses his original decision. And he has the originally freed from debt servant tossed into jail and tortured. And then, does it get any better than this? At the conclusion of this story, Jesus says this, verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is a tough message, I know. Welcome to Watermark Wesleyan Springville Crossing Campus, where we love you enough to share with you the truth. You see, this, what Jesus just said, is a cornerstone concept in all of Jesus' teaching. But we must admit, we're all tempted, right? We're all tempted to carry our grudges and our unforgiveness, just like Lamech, just like Captain Hook, just like the forgiven servant in the parable. This is the condition of our heart, okay? The heart not fully surrendered to, the heart not fully governed by Jesus Christ. Because Christ offers another way. That's what he does. He offers another way, and that other way is called forgiveness. Forgiveness. And forgiveness feels hard. It feels really hard until you consider the alternative. Because while most of us think that forgiving someone else is the hardest thing in conflict, it's not. It's not. Carrying around a grudge is harder. Maybe the hardest thing you could possibly ever do. Forgiveness is really the easier way in the long run. So why not start today? Because you see, there is an open door before us. There is an open door before you, before me, waiting to be opened, but you have to choose. You have to choose. You have to choose because, you see, you can hang on to your resentment. You can do that. I can hang on to my hurt. I can do that. Or we can open the door and we can walk through the door that leads to open spaces. Open spaces of a heart that is living and not just reciting the prayer that we've been taught to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us, God, as we forgive those who trespass and sin against us. Going through that door is living the Lord's Prayer, not just reciting it. And can I tell you a funny thing real quick about open doors and what they do to our memory? We likely all know the aggravation of this experience of walking into the room through a doorway, right? And we get in there and then we go, what did I even come in here for? Everybody have that happen to them? I experienced it with my daughter yesterday. She walked in, she goes, why did I come in here? I'm like, man, honey, I wish you knew the message today. Well, there is actually a name for this phenomenon. They call it the boundary effect. For some reason, guys, walking through a door makes us forgetful. In fact, the University of Notre Dame, they researched why walking through a door causes us to forget, and they found out this. Entering or exiting through a doorway serves as a boundary in the mind, which separates episodes of activity and files them away. So good news. You're not crazy. You're not alone when walking through a doorway and forgetting something. You're not alone, you're not crazy. I'm not alone, I'm not crazy. C.S. Lewis, though, wrote of a spell in the Chronicles of Narnia. How to remember things forgotten and how to forget things I've wanted to forget. Well, I don't know of a spell that causes you to forget. I don't know of one. I just know that walking into another room and through a doorway, that does the trick for me. Doorways, you see, they symbolize something. They symbolize opportunity. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for you to walk through a doorway called forgiveness, to click off some of those old, those intense, those hurtful memories. Maybe you need to take advantage of the boundary effect, a chance to forget, A chance to let bygones be bygones. And maybe without even walking through a door, you can just say today, in this moment, this is my moment. Maybe you can just say this today without walking through a doorway. This is my moment. This is a boundary crossing moment. This hurt is no longer going to define me. It's no longer going to have control over me because it's time. It's time to forgive. It's time. It's time to move on. So three questions for you and I to consider as we apply this message. One, who's wronged you? Who's wronged you? I know you thought of somebody today. Who's wronged you? Name them. Don't deny it. Don't skirt around it. Don't dance around it anymore. Don't justify it. Just name them. Name them to the Lord. In your heart to the Lord. Next, and maybe the most important question this morning, do you want to forgive them? Do you want to forgive them? Decide today if you want to forgive them. And just to be clear, I think you probably should. I think you probably should, especially as we think on the parable of Jesus that we talked about. I think you probably should, but you, each and every one of you independently have to decide. I can't decide it for you. It's too personal between you and the Lord. You have to decide that. And I also want to tell you and be truthful, there's other choices out there. You have other choices. You can choose to let the resentment simmer. You can leave it and simmer. And you can choose again the path of Lamech, the path of revenge. Heck, you can even choose to murder that person. You can choose to murder them in actuality or in your heart. Now, I'm not condoning murder here, okay, as an option, but you got to be honest, it is an option, right? And while you may feel like you could never consider murdering someone, we as humans, church, we murder people in our heart every day. We murder people in our heart every day. We murder people in our heart all day long. Another choice you could make is the path of self-destruction. You could maybe abuse alcohol, drugs, entertainment, something as a way of numbing yourself from the pain that they caused you. But there are consequences of that. Or you could decide today that you will forgive them. You could decide today that you will forgive them. And here's the thing. One does not really forgive a person gradually. It, again, has to be a decision. One doesn't forgive someone gradually. It has to be a decision of the will. But with that said, maybe today, okay, maybe for you it's just enough to say this, God, I want to get to a place. God, I want to get to a place where I want to forget them. I'm not there yet. I want to forgive them. I'm not there yet, but please help me. Please help me, God, to get there. Maybe today that's a good step for you. That would be a great start. And let me just be absolutely clear. Forgiveness does not mean you stay in a dangerous situation. Forgiveness does not mean that you stay silent necessarily. They may need to face consequences, but you don't have to carry unforgiveness. That's the point. And let me just end with this. Third thing to apply this today. What step can you take today? What step can you take? What step? Maybe it's commitment to praying. Commitment to praying about all you and I have heard this morning and experienced this morning, throughout the week, committing to pray about that. Maybe that's your step. Maybe your step is to listen to the sermon again later, online. Maybe your next step is to download the sermon discussion guide so you can, like, connect with the message more. Or if you're in a small group that's going to discuss the sermon discussion guide, maybe you make a priority to be there this week. Or maybe if you're not in a small group yet, maybe you visit one this week. If you want to know more about that, just talk to me. As Chad makes his way up, we've spent 3 weeks talking about the golden rule. To do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And Jesus said, we should forgive others as we would have the Father in heaven forgive us. So what step can you take today? What step? Even if that person who hurt you has died, even if that person who hurt you is unrepentant, you can still walk through the door. And maybe as you walk through the doors at home this week or throughout your week, maybe as you do that, just make a conscious effort to reflect upon forgiveness. Maybe that will lead to some great and healthy and overdue discussions you've had to have with God or with others. Even one step, church, toward forgiving of others, as Christ has forgiven you. Maybe one step. I know that one step toward that honors God. That's what it does. Take it. Take that step this week. Take that step toward freeing yourself via forgiveness. Let's pray. Dear good and heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as we wrap up this series on golden and doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. And Lord, we settle on this word, forgive. Forgive. And for many of us, it feels like the hardest thing we could ever consider doing because it's just not fair. But Lord, when we take that path of Lamech, we get so consumed and we waste so much energy that can be utilized on brighter things and better things. And Lord, you have forgiven us. And as we would have you do unto us, forgive us, we are to do unto others. So Lord, I pray that we would take that step today, whatever name came to mind, as we thought about who is someone that's hurt me. I pray that we wouldn't skirt around it anymore. I pray that we would lift that name to you and ask you to work on our hearts. And when we think about deciding to forgive, we do need to make that decision because there's alternatives. I pray, Lord, that if someone is ready just to do that today, that all it takes is for them to say, you know what? I just want to lay this issue at your altar, God. I am choosing to forgive so-and-so. I want to free them from what I've been holding them from. I want you to bless their life and help them to grow, and I want you to bless my life and help me to grow. So I am choosing to lay this down at your feet. I don't want to be defined by it anymore. I don't want to be consumed with it. I pray they would take that step. Or maybe there's a person here today who, man, has just taken all this in and is like, I just am not at a point I want to forgive, but they want to get there. They see the repercussions of holding on to bitterness and holding the grudge. I pray for that person. They would just continually throughout this week say to you, I want to get to a point of forgiving. Help me to get there. Show me the way. And I pray, Lord, we would be a people that take a step. All eyes up here for a second. And I don't want this to come across as some bragging thing, please. Okay, don't hear me. I got a point to this. But in the last few weeks, I've had a couple people say to me, man, you're just so passionate when you preach. You know why I'm passionate? Because God's passionate about you. He's passionate about me. And I want to be very clear that salvation is a free gift, guys. Forgiveness of our sin is a free gift. It's a free gift when we say, God, I am a sinner. I deserve the worst, but you sent Jesus Christ to be the one and only perfect sacrifice there could be to cover my sin. And when we agree with that, and when we agree with the fact that he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, because he loves each one of us, we are forgiven, period, by God, of our sins, past, present, future. But we know that we go on in life and we still make mistakes, right? And we need that ongoing forgiveness and that grace from God, which is what that parable of the unmerciful servant was about. It's that ongoing thing. I don't want you to think that man, I have to forgive Joey to get to heaven. No, God's plan is it's better than that. He says, receive Jesus, be forgiven, But you're going to need ongoing forgiveness. You're going to want me to be a part of your life. You're going to want relationship with me because I've got the best plan for you. So we need that ongoing forgiveness. But maybe you've never taken that step of letting the blood of Jesus just wash over you and forgive you of all. If that's you, I just want to pray with you right now in a second. And this is just from your heart to God. Dear Lord, I just know that I cannot earn your forgiveness. I'm not meant to. It's too big of a task. I can't go a minute without breaching something that you've called me to do. But Lord, you have said and you have declared and you have demonstrated through your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection, through the words, his prophecy, the prophecy of others to him, that that would be enough for me to be back in relationship with you. And that's what I need, God. I need a relationship with you. I need to be forgiven. I need to make you Lord and Savior of my life. And I am doing that in this moment. I've never done this before. I'm coming to you, God, and I'm just confessing that I am a sinner that needs to be saved. And you, Jesus, are the Savior. And I accept you into my life. And I pray that you will fill me with the Holy Spirit to continue to journey in discovering what wholeness in you looks like. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.